Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Message has just come in to us that says, good morning, Owen. What do you think about the Minister for Justice not going to the Garda Annual Delegates Conference? The Garda Commissioner was not invited, so she said she won't go. She's treating it like a wedding invitation. If he's not invited, I'm not going. That's not the way it works. She is standing by the Garda Commissioner when the loyalty that she should have should be with the grassroots Gardaí. It's only once a year. Well, we're going to be returning to that in the second hour of the programme with John Joe O'Connell, Kildare representative for the GRA, the Garda Representative Association, and we'll be putting those points to him as to why Drew Harris wasn't invited and then what he makes of the fact that because Mr Harris wasn't invited, Helen McEntee, Minister for Justice, decided that she wasn't going to the GRA annual conference. So stay tuned for that. But the regional group of TDs comprising of nine Dáil deputies is seeking cross-party support for their motion to end the means testing of family carers. The motion seeks to replace the current system with a non-means tested scheme based solely on care needs, recognising the invaluable contribution of over 500,000 family carers across Ireland. Shortly we'll hear from Catherine Cox, Head of Communications and Policy at Family Carers Ireland. First on the line though is Independent TD for Kildare South, Cathal Berry. Cathal, good morning and welcome back to the programme.
Good morning, Owen, and good morning to Catherine as well. Actually, it's great to be on the show.
Seems like a no-brainer here, Cathal, that the means testing would be abolished. Do you feel as though you will get that cross-party support?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you know, Owen, and your listeners will know as well, I've never been a member of a political party, so I can work cross-party on issues like this. And this is a classic example which should be above politics, really. And to be fair, we've got a lot of positive soundings from both the opposition benches and the government benches as well. So we would expect to see some progress over the next little while. I just want to acknowledge Catherine Cox's role as well. She's been excellent in liaising with her own team here in Leinster House and was heavily involved in drafting the motion. So it's really from an expert opinion as well.
Yeah, and Catherine, family carers represent 1 in 8 of the Irish population, but the financial vulnerability imposed by the current means testing of the carers' allowance is leaving many carers in precarious financial situations. And I know you've been calling for this to be lifted for quite a while.
We have indeed, Owen, yeah, and thanks very much to Cathal as well. Yes, we've been calling for this for over 20 years, for as long as I've certainly been working with family carers. The means test itself and carers' allowance, it's outdated, it's gender biased, and it is absolutely no longer fit for purpose. We have over 500,000 carers in this country. Over 130,000 of them are full-time, 24/7, yet only 1 in 4 family carers get carers' allowance, and that is mainly because of that means test. So we want to see the means test abolished. We want to see it done over the next 3 years. Now, ideally, we would love this to be done tomorrow, but we are being realistic. We see that it could be and should be done over the next 3 years, where income disregards are raised, more and more carers are brought into the net, and by 2027, we want to see the means test abolished. But because for family carers, the cost of caring in a household is much higher than a household where you don't have care. And we did some research with the Vincentian Partnership, and they showed that the cost of caring in a home with a person with profound disability is in excess of €244 per week. Yet carers' allowance, the amount isn't even at that amount. So we need to see carers valued, recognised, but adequately supported financially.
Yeah, because I know family carers, and from talking to you for the last number of years here, Catherine, the point is always made that you're saving the state money. You are saving the state money here by caring for your loved one at home, and yet you're still not even getting that financial contribution that you need. You brought out the State of Caring report in 2022, which highlighted the significant challenges that were faced by family carers, including the battle in accessing services and carers themselves feeling undervalued by society. That was quite a stark report.
It was, and actually our next state of caring report is due out in June, and we're just looking at the findings now at the moment, and over 2,000 family carers responded to that. And unfortunately, the findings in 2024 in some situations are worse, but they're certainly as bad as they were. So nothing, you know, has really improved. And particularly, we're coming on the back of COVID as well. So services diminished, lots of services disappeared. So unfortunately, our report in June will, I suppose, paint a very similar picture. We did a scorecard also on government last year around how they're doing against the commitments that they made in the programme for government. And again, that didn't make for positive reading. So there is a real opportunity now for this government. And I would commend Minister Humphreys. To be fair, she is the first minister who has increased the income disregards over the last 2 years. So, you know, that progress has started, but let's finish it now. You know, let's get to a stage where carers are paid what we call a participation income for the work that they do, rather than being mean-spirited with carers' allowance.
And Cathal, to bring you back in, and just to go back to that point of carers saving the state money, and I know that in a lot of instances here we're talking about family, and that, you know, you're caring for a loved one, and people would say, well, I would do it anyway for no money, but we need the financial contributions in order to get equipment and to, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Hypothetically, if these carers were to say, we're not doing this anymore, we're throwing our hands up in the air, and the 500,000 family carers across Ireland said, we're undervalued, we're taking a step back, the state wouldn't be able to cope. So we need to keep these family carers on side, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree entirely. And the estimated figure of the total cost of care in Ireland, if the state was to take over that responsibility, is approximately about 10 billion. That's billion with a B. So that just tells you the contribution that carers are making, not just to the Irish Health Service per se, but to Irish society as a whole. And look, and we're very grateful for Catherine. Catherine has kindly agreed to come up to Leinster House at 4 o'clock this evening to brief up personally all the TDs and senators, and the motion is on live TV and Oireachtas TV at 10 a.m. in the morning for 2 hours. So we're very much looking forward to it. And most importantly, we're looking for positive feedback from Minister Humphreys, and that there's going to be progress over the next number of years.
So this motion is going to be debated tomorrow at 10 o'clock, between 10 a.m. and 12 noon. But do you feel as though it is a no-brainer? Is there much of a debate here to be had?
Oh, there's always a reason for debate, because there's finer points that when there's 160 people in the chamber, I would say 160 heads are always better than one. And there could be a few little nuggets of information that we hadn't considered. So it's always good to have debates, particularly for 2 hours. But just going back to what Catherine said as well, it just shows how responsible this motion is. We're not looking for an unrealistic thing or a cliff edge. We want something, you know, implemented tomorrow. There is a 3-year taper timeline being brought in as well. So it's very, very realistic, very, very implementable. And we look forward to some very, very positive feedback from Minister Humphreys tomorrow, and keep that the implementation immediately afterwards.
Catherine, another thing, and we have some messages coming in from family carers that they're saying that they're tired of having to fight for everything and tired of having to campaign. Do you think that abolishing the means testing would certainly go some way to making it easier for family carers?
I do, absolutely. You know, for the battle has always been, as they say, as you said, you know, they're fighting for whether it's a diagnosis, if it's a child or adult with disability, then they're fighting for maybe school places, they're fighting for therapies, and then they're struggling financially. So at least if that financial struggle wasn't there, if carers didn't have to go through means testing. I mean, if you think about it, what other job is there whereby somebody applies and does a role, yet they are not paid for that role because their partner is on an income over a certain amount? It is ludicrous when you put it like that. And, you know, carers allowance, it's the only payment, social welfare payment, where people have to work over 35 hours per week to get that payment. So that's why we're talking about a participation income, work that should be valued. And as you said, you know, carers save the state. We would estimate actually closer to 20 billion euro per year if you were to replace that care. So, huge savings for the state, the work that carers do. But it's also in line with government policy. It's keeping people at home for as long as they want. So why wouldn't we support that? So for me, and actually we have done costings around what it would cost to abolish the means test. And those costings have come from the Dáil as well. So government, and it is estimated it would cost $375 million to abolish the means test. So you're talking about a cost of $375 million pay, you know, against the $20 billion that family carers save our state every year. To us, it's a no-brainer, and we absolutely need to see it done.
All right, so more of the messages. Just stay with us, Catherine, for the moment. Mm-hmm. The carer system, as is putting or keeping people in poverty. I had to leave a very well-paid corporate job to look after my disabled child because the state doesn't provide appropriate preschool or school places, after-school supports, post-school employment for disabled people, nor support services. I am doing the job the state should be doing, yet I can't get carer's allowance as we are just above the means because my partner works. We have paid thousands in tax to the Irish state since we were both 18, yet now our child is treated consistently as a second-class citizen. We are effectively being kept on the monthly survival line. Another one says, I am shocked at the number of carers in Ireland, 500,000, and I assume that they are caring for at least one person each. Are those numbers quoted correct? That many people are involved in the care system. Could you put those figures and those numbers into context, Catherine?
Yep. So there are 500,000 family carers in this country, and it's important to say family carers. So there's somebody at home, might be a mom, a dad, grandparent, maybe a son or a daughter caring for a family member at home. So those figures are absolutely correct, and that comes from the CSO household survey, which is done every year. So that's the figure, 500,000. And as that person said, in some cases they are caring for more than one person. So that is absolutely correct as well. There was another, just to go back to the adequacy, because that is another issue. So the carers allowance at the moment, the figure, the weekly figure, if somebody does get it, and that's a big if with the means test, is €236 per week. There is no way that a person could live on that alone. And when we think back to COVID and the PUP payment, that was set at €350 per week because government recognised people couldn't live on less than that. Yet family carers, the ones who get carers allowance are expected to live on €236 per week. So as well as seeing an income, the means test abolished, we do need to see adequacy raised for the carers allowance payment. And it needs to be in line with, at a minimum, the cost of caring for somebody in the home.
Yeah, another one here says, I'm a carer for my mother and I was means tested for this and I was granted carers. I was granted €23 a week. I do this 7 days. That doesn't pay my petrol to all the hospital appointments, including in Dublin hospitals. That's shocking numbers, really, Catherine, isn't it? £23 a week.
So that is if somebody is basically what they call on a reduced rate of carers allowance. So if somebody might be eligible for the full rate, but if their partner, for example, is on an income over a certain amount, then the carers allowance is reduced. So quite often what happens, a carer might get carers allowance, then their partner gets a rise maybe, or, you know, gets a bonus or something. And as soon as that happens, the person who's providing the full-time care 24/7, their carers allowance is cut. So that shows you how unfair the system is. A carer providing care, they should be analysed, or they should look at the carer, and it should look at needs, not means. And if a carer is providing full-time care, they should be valued for that care, and they should be financially supported to provide that care. And that's why we just need to see the means test abolished.
All right, Fianna Fáil Senator Fiona O'Loughlin has texted in to say, I completely support carers. As chair of the Oireachtas Women's Caucus, I proposed a motion which was debated both in the Dáil and the Shannon last November to both better support carers and abolish the means test. The motion was unopposed, but as we all know, that unfortunately doesn't necessarily mean implementation. And that's from Fiona O'Loughlin. So, Cathal Berry, just to finish up with you, the regional group of TDs bringing this motion to the Dáil tomorrow. And as you can hear from just a sample of some of the listeners that are texting in, it's quite a big issue here in Kildare.
Absolutely, and you can sense the injustice emanating from those texts, and rightly so as well. But just to back up Fiona O'Loughlin there as well, she's obviously chair of the Women's Caucus in Leinster House, so it is also worth mentioning that the vast majority of carers in this country, there's a female preponderance, so the vast majority of carers are actually women. So it's a gender equality issue as well as a financial instability issue, and it's something that needs to be addressed, and tomorrow's a golden opportunity to do precisely that.
Independent TD for Kildare South, Cathal Berry, and Catherine Cox, Head of Communications and Policy at Family Carers Ireland. Thanks to you both for joining us this morning, and thanks to all those family carers for the work that you do, but also for getting in touch with us this morning and sharing your stories.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, welcome back. Reminder, by the way, if you're down in Athy, particularly out on the Stradbally Road, you may be without water as part of the National Leakage Reduction Programme. Essential maintenance works may be causing supply disruptions to the Stradbally Road and surrounding areas of Athy for the next few days. Works are scheduled to take place daily from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. tomorrow, and Ishka Aaron recommends that you allow 2 to 3 hours after the estimated restoration time for your supply to fully return. Another place that you might be without water is St. Conlett's Graveyard in Newbridge, because we were contacted by my next guest, Patricia, yesterday to say that that area and that graveyard hasn't had water for the last number of months. Patricia joins me on the line now. Good morning to you. What's the situation here, Patricia, and when did you realise that there was no water in the cemetery?
There's been no water in the cemetery since at least last December, early January. And if you approach the lads in the graveyard, they'll tell you they can't do anything. If you approach Kildare County Council, they'll tell you Bord Ishka are supposed to be hooking it up. And Bord Ishka, apparently, are just ignoring the council and, what you call it, we're getting nowhere. Well, when I was in there this Saturday morning for my husband's anniversary, I had bunches of flowers, no water anywhere. I wasn't the only one. People were walking around trying to find water everywhere. Obviously, the men are off for the weekend, so none of us had any water. So, basically, we had to go home.
And is this the taps then that you're talking about, that when you go to fill up a watering can or whatever the case may be, when you turn the taps, there's no water coming out of it?
There's no water anywhere in the graveyard, even in the toilets. There's no water anywhere. I approached the council again this morning and asked them for help. I went back down to the men this morning and talked to them. They said, because there's nothing they can do. I said, so we can't go on like this. We've Cemetery Sunday coming up in July and that, and we need to sort this mess out. And they said, there's nothing they can do. It's down to the council. Came home, went back to the council, asked them to do something, and they informed me that it's Bord Ishka's problem, that they're waiting to be hooked up and Bord Ishka isn't doing anything about it.
You're having then to, if you want to water flowers, do you have to bring the water from the house then to the graveyard?
I don't live in Newbridge, I live in the Curragh, and I've had to drag water from the Curragh over in on the bus all the way down to the graveyard, what you call it, and then do whatever you want for your flowers and your gardening down there. I met a number of elderly people on Saturday trying to do plants, trying to clean up the grave because it was such a beautiful day. No water anywhere. They had to go home. I did ring a councillor today and I asked him, will they not even bring in a container of water or something for us in the graveyard? Some kind of, you know, machine or something we can get water out of a tank or something. And he said no.
Why not?
You asked him. And he said it's being used somewhere else in Kildare. I said, you can't just have one water container in the whole of Kildare. This is quite the situation in Newbridge. You're going to have nothing but plastic bottles in Newbridge graveyard because that's where they're being dumped.
Well, particularly as well for those who might be a bit older or don't drive, and they're having to lug plastic bottles of water all around the place to water the plants on graves.
Like myself, I don't drive, what you call it. I had to get the bus and then I had to carry the water all the way down to the graveyard from the bus stop at Charlie Ryan's. And I can't get anywhere fast, what you call it. And on my way home today, I phoned the councillor and asked him for help in Newbridge. And he said, there's nothing that can be done.
All right, listen, leave it with us, Patricia. Thanks for joining us. We got in touch with Kildare County Council, who got back to us to say that they're aware of the ongoing problem of the lack of water supply out in St. Connolly Cemetery in Newbridge, and they're working with Ishka Éireann as soon as possible to bring about a solution. We also contacted Ishka Éireann as of 9 o'clock this morning when we came on air. We didn't have a reply from them, but we will get back in touch with them after the program. Thanks to Patricia for joining us. And just to stick on the issue of water, by the way, and go up to Selbridge, local Labour councillor Rupert Heather is on the line. And Rupert, you brought the issue of water disruption in Selbridge to Kildare County Council recently. You wanted them to seek clarification from Ishka Éireann on its longer term plans to avoid water supply disruption to households in Selbridge and work with Ishka Éireann to help avoid such instances in the future. What did the council say back to you?
Well, I mean, yeah. First of all, good morning. You know, the whole issue of sort of water supplies is a massive one in Selbridge. Me myself, you know, a few weeks ago, our household was you know, had no water for 2 or 3 days, and people were contacting me, who had no water for a week. And us as councillors, I suppose, we are limited in what we can do, and that we have certain ways of contacting Ishka Éireann and getting status updates. And that was quite a frustrating process because what was happening was when they'd fixed one leak, that would cause an increase in pressure and another leak would then happen. So there was so much disruption. We were struggling to get updates. And, you know, this, I suppose, question to the council was all about ensuring that doesn't happen again. That, you know, there's better sort of communication between Ishka Éireann and ourselves as councillors, so we can actually give more information to people and help them. I mean, there is a water clinic coming up with Ishka Éireann in June, but that's too far away. So we proposed an amendment to the question I asked to demand a meeting as soon as possible with Ishka Éireann, essentially to find out what the long-term plans are. We do know that Hazel Hatch has been added to the priority list for works to potentially happen in 2025 to hopefully replace some of that water infrastructure. But you know, it's about, I suppose, getting round the table with Ishka Éireann and finding out exactly what those plans are, because the situation that occurred in Selbridge and surrounding areas was unacceptable in terms of people losing water supply, you know.
All right, let's stay in the Selbridge area then for a couple of other issues. Rupert, you wanted the council to advise what plans are in place to create a continuous cycle lane on the main Selbridge to Maynooth Road.
Yeah, Owen, I mean, look, anything that gets people out of their cars, anything that, you know, contributes to our sustainability goals, anything that reduces the emissions, you know, and reduces our carbon footprint is a worthy aim. And I also think there's a whole issue of sort of mobility between the two towns. I mean, there are cycle paths and cycle lanes that go to the sort of town limits of both Selbridge and Maynooth, but not on the road that connects. And I think that, you know, it's vital to help, you know, so people can leave their cars at home, so there's more sort of interaction between the two towns, which has an economic benefit, I think, as well. So, I mean, the council were fairly forthcoming in their response. They obviously saw it as something that would be a good thing. I think they've upwards of about 40 sustainability projects in the offing at the moment. So it wasn't that they said this couldn't happen. They said that this would be something they would consider in future. And obviously, my role as a councillor is to keep that on the agenda, because I do think it's important.
OK, what's the situation then with the school, the St. Patrick's School? Is there no agreement in place to use the back gate for school access, and is that going to be sorted out?
Yeah, there isn't at the moment, and it's quite a sort of, it's a little bit of a tricky situation in that Primrose Gate, the estate which backs onto St. Patrick's School, that needs to be taken in charge by the council. Before the council, that will allow the council to take in charge the gate and sort of, you know, sort out the access issue. I mean, the access issue is important from a number of reasons, particularly around safety of people going, you know, to school, children walking along the road there, which can be quite, you know, the traffic comes down there quite fast. So this motion was about sort of, you know, pushing that agenda forward for the back gate access. But I mean, the council are working fairly diligently trying to do that. I mean, you know, it's not, and everyone is aware of the issues that, you know, surround the access to Patrick's School. So, I mean, in terms of the response, I think the whole process of taking in charge the Primrose Gate and that particular gate or the back gate is happening. And so there is work going, you know, on and trying to resolve that situation.
Right. Finally then, Rupert, out in our clock, you were looking to see if the council could advise what scope there is within the Ardcloch Rural Settlement Renewal Master Plan to address the issue of heavy goods vehicles continually, you say, damaging Henry Bridge on Arthur's Way. Quite a narrow bridge, historic bridge as well. Keeps getting damaged, does it?
Indeed so. I mean, you know, for one reason or another, maybe it's sometimes it's heavy goods vehicles following Google Maps and coming over, having to use the bridge, or it's local traffic. But, you know, essentially it's a very narrow bridge. And, you know, according to one of the residents who lives close beside there, you know, it creates a situation where, literally, you know, trucks are sort of have very limited space to get over and essentially getting jammed or caught in some ways in the bridge, and it's causing damage to the buttress walls. I mean, you know, this is all about sort of protecting our built environment and our natural heritage and protecting the biodiversity of the Greenway there. You know, those places are very special. I mean, one of the joys of living in Kildare is the sort of, you know, the green heritage and the built environment, some of the lovely things we have as residents of the county. So this is about protecting that and looking within the Ardcloch Rural Settlement Plan to see if there was scope to do that. But, you know, one of the issues, I suppose, is that Waterways Ireland are in charge of that. So I will be following that up, because I think protecting our biodiversity and our built heritage is something we must all commit to, you know.
Labour councillor on the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District, Rupert Heather, thanks for joining us. Rupert, just going back to some of the messages that have come in to us, a woman, Anne, rang in and said she's a full-time carer that's working for her husband, who is 75 years old with emphysema, but she's only being told she's entitled to half, as she works half of 24 hours. However, some of her days may require 18 to 20 hours. Going back to that water issue out at St. Connolly's Graveyard in Newbridge, and the caretaker of St. Connolly's has texted in to say that the council are applying for a new connection from Irish Water and it's still getting sorted, apparently, and we are sorry that the people have to deal with this. It's out of our hands. Well, thanks for updating us on that. Another listener rang in and says she's from Newbridge and people have always brought their own water up to the graveyard, and says that the woman on the programme, Patricia, is complaining for no reason. Well, see, there's two ways of looking at that. Okay, this might not be a new issue and it's been happening for quite some time, but does that mean that people should just sit back and say, oh, sure, those taps don't work, you have to bring your own water, or try and get it fixed? Kildare County Council says that they are aware and they're working with Uisce Éireann to get those fixed. But yeah, I mean, just because it's been happening for, you know, years or whatever, or months, doesn't mean that it's acceptable and you just say, oh, pity about the taps, they don't work. Let's try and get them sorted. Councillor Bill Clear, Social Democrats councillor and Mayor of Naas, is with me on the line. Good morning to you, Bill. What's happening in the canal, Bill? Because you've sent us videos and to put it politely, it looks like SH1T is flowing into the canal.
Very much is. I was alerted to it yesterday of an overflow at the rear of St. Eustace Terrace. There's actually a big water manhole, a storage manhole at the back near by the river, and apparently it's been flowing for days over the weekend. But when it went down, you could see the whole place destroyed with storage, and that the stream then flows into the canal. I had been noticed over the weekend at the canal. I said, geez, and that looks like an algae bloom. It's very early and it's old for that, you know. We couldn't be getting it this quick. But then as you look closer, it's actually storage. The entire canal is now almost full of storage from the harbour all the way down past almost Osbourstown Bridge now. And what that means is that all the biodiversity on the canal is now flowing into the Liffey as well, because it overflows there into a stream and then continues on. the frustration is of contacting Irish Water, contacting Inra and Fisheries, contacted Waterways Ireland, and seem to be banging my head. But I mean, you need to kind of like put in something to stop it getting into the Liffey, you know, because that's a special area of conservation. And they call the biodiversity along that canal now. God only knows. People can see it now. It's, the whole canal is full of stories. And it's shocking. Quite shocking.
And do those bodies know about it then, Bill? Like Irish Water, the Inland Fisheries and Waterways Ireland, are they aware that this is happening?
Yeah, I've told them, yeah, and informed them. When I realised what happened this morning, I took a walk down there, and I said, this is actually, so I started contacting them all. And, you know, some of them are impossible to contact, you know. It's a real bureaucracy whereby they make it hard for you to contact. But Irish Gear and whoever they are, contacted them yesterday, you know. So it's very frustrating, you know, when you see raw storage going into a stream that's going into the canal, filled it up, and now it's going to go into the Liffey and forever, you know. And nothing is done about it, like, you know.
Well, look, keep in touch with us.
I just want to say that, like, you know, there's an awful lot of nesting birds, herons, swans, water hens, you know, all those cormorants, all sorts, are all nesting, and God only knows what's going on with them, and all the other biodiversity destroyed it is. And anyway, there's a dog, just keep him out of the canal for now until we get this sorted, you know, because it's pretty disgusting, you know, and our beautiful, beautiful canal.
Yeah, keep in touch with us, Bill. So that's from the harbour in Naas right the way down to Osbertown Bridge. They are on the way to Salins, where raw sewerage, as Bill has outlined and has shown us in videos and photographs, is going into the canal. So as he says, just keep dogs and other animals out of the canal until that situation gets rectified. Social Democrats councillor and mayor of Kildare, or mayor of Naas, Bill Clear. Thanks for joining us, Bill.